Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming here from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line from Raleigh, North Carolina, our good friend, Dr. Dennis Cuddy. Hi, Dennis. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging in there as usual. How are you?
I'm doing just great, thank you. And we were going to be talking today about point 9 of your series of articles on the mental health in America. And incidentally, we have ready now, right available here at Radio Liberty, the first 4 of Dr. Cuddy's articles on the mental health. They're actually printed, and they're in a booklet, which is available from Radio Liberty. And we hope you want to pick that up. You want to have this information at your fingertips to understand how they are propagandizing the American people, how they intend to control our minds. And really, there are people out there who spent a lot of time, invested literally hundreds of millions of dollars to learn how to propagandize, how to manipulate, how to control what the American people hear, what the American people see, what the American people think, and ultimately what they believe. So pick up the story from there, Dr. Cuddy.
Okay. Basically, part 9 is a multi-part series regarding the subject of mental health, education, and social control. And as you indicated, the first 4 parts are published in a little booklet called National Mental Health Program, Creating Standards for the New World Order, because the objective in all of this is to eventually get us to a world state, a one world government, one world economy, one world religion, and so on. And so I begin the booklet with an introduction where I start with Bertrand Russell's quote, part of his quote, from The Impact of Science on Society, because the people, your listeners, need to know that part of this plan is to destroy our free will. And as soon as I say that, somebody starts rolling their eyes. You've got to be kidding. But that's part of the quote. This is part of what Bertrand Russell says education would be all about, and they would learn to, through diet and injections and injunctions at a very early age, to start programming people and their character so that they would do what the authorities, as he called them, consider desirable. You would have a certain desirable behavior.
And in fact, for the skeptic out there, I actually have the book that's page 50 that Dr. Cuddy's quoting from. Would be glad to send you copies of pages 50 and 51. The Impacts of Science on Society, written in 1953 by Bertrand Russell, who is one of the elite, who believes that we should have an elite group that rule the world to control all you common people out there, you common serfs. And as he says, you know, soon we'll have, by selective breeding, already almost 2 separate species, one the elite and one the common people. And then the idea, of course, of a revolt of the plebs against the masters would be as unthinkable as having the sheep revolting against the consumption of mutton. That's page 51. Go ahead, Dennis.
Okay, and then I go on to a more recent example where there was a movie, Extreme Measures, with Gene Hackman, and without going into a lot of the details, basically he's presenting sort of an ends justifies the means perspective from the medical profession. He's confronted by the proponent of the values that we would consider appropriate in response to Gene Hackman, and in this movie...
Now hold that thought here in just a moment. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. Now, our special guest this afternoon is Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and Dr. Cuddy has taught at the university level. He was a member of the Department of Education under the Reagan administration, and certainly one of the most outstanding researchers we have in the country, dealing with so many issues. We carry his book, Secret Records Revealed, and Now is the Dawning Road to Socialism, his book on the NEA power grab, and certainly his book on the 9-1-1 prior knowledge and cover-up, and other books. They're all available through Radio Liberty, and we hope maybe you'll want to avail yourselves of them. But he's put together a pamphlet here. It's the first four of his talks, or his essays on mental health, because there is a program, ladies and gentlemen, to control your mind and the mind of the children of this country and mold them into going along with this whole idea of a world government. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had a world government? And, oh, if we could just have, you know, vote the right people into power, they would use that power wisely. When our founding fathers realized that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, and the secret of America was never to elect the right people, it was to get people in government who would restrict the power of government. Dr. Cuddy is talking about, first of all, about Bertrand Russell, and Bertrand Russell's book, The Impact of Science on Society, talked about how by the use of diet injections and injunctions they'd be able to mold the minds of the people. And then he was beginning to talk about a recent movie with Gene Hackman. Would you like to take a pick of a story there, please?
Sure. Gene Hackman is presenting in this movie titled Extreme Measures that came out in 1996, the viewpoint of, unfortunately, some of the health profession feel that the ends justify the means. And what he was doing was experimenting on people and actually killing them to benefit science and eventual medical cures. And he's confronted by Hugh Grant, the hero of the film, basically saying, well, you're not God. I don't care if you can find a cure for every disease on the planet. You tortured and murdered these people, and that makes you a disgrace to your profession. And so oftentimes, although you don't hear it a lot, there are many individuals who go through that same sort of process. I remember hearing you recently, Dr. Stan, on a program with a pharmaceutical representative.
Hold that thought just for a moment. We'll be right back here. Well, Dr. Stan, Dr. Cuddy is talking about the attitude of some people that the end justifies the means, and certain people within the medical and pharmaceutical industry who are quite willing to kill people as long as it's, well, after all, maybe we're doing more good than maybe we're doing more harm, and we have to get these drugs out to the people. After all, if we don't know how they're going to work, unless we can sell them to, 100 million people in the United States, and, well, maybe a few people are going to die. But, and then you were beginning to speak, Dr. Cuddy, about a recent debate that we had on another network with a member of the pharmaceutical industry. Do you want to pick up the story?
Basically, it's what you just said. The attitude is, well, you come out with these drugs, and they have tests. Of course, they don't really wait long enough to see any long-term results on most of them, or in what they happens in combination with some other drugs. But they do this various testing and research. And then when the public says, my goodness, look, people are getting strokes or whatever, and if you look at TV, you see these ads. You say, take such and such a drug. And then at the end of the wonderful portrait that it's giving of the drug, it says, and side effects may include stroke and, heart attacks and things like that. And the attitude seems to be, well, we've warned you, and yeah, there are going to be these people who might die of this, but what the heck, there's more people. Let's have a little scale here. Well, these 14 people were helped, and so one died, and well, that's the cost of progress. So it seems to be a crazy attitude. But that's sort of the attitude that a lot of people have.
Well, this is really the elite, though. And, of course, what really is so frightening is so many people within the medical profession go along with their phony studies, because if they don't come up with results, scientific studies that praise the drugs, they're going to cut off their funding. They're not going to get any more contracts. They're not going to get any more money for studies. So they doctor the results many times. Sometimes, of course, the doctors do have integrity, and of course, they publish and know the truth about the drugs, and then they end up getting sued by the pharmaceutical companies, and of course, maybe they eventually win the suit, but they're bankrupt because they told the truth, and hundreds of thousands of people are dying. In fact, let me just cover quickly Vioxx. The original studies on Vioxx, according to Dr. David Graham, showed that if you took Vioxx in low dose, and you remember, oh, what a beautiful morning, you remember those wonderful ads of the girls skating out there in the skating rink with Vioxx, they knew before it was ever released, the 090 study, a 700% increase in the incidence of heart attacks if you took Vioxx over if you didn't take Vioxx. And still they released that, according to Dr. Graham, somebody between almost 90,000 and 139,000 people suffered either strokes or heart attacks, and 30 to 40% of them died. And people in the pharmaceutical industry said, well, after all, though, look at all the good the drug did. Go ahead.
Sure. And another thing they do oftentimes is the drug companies often pay for various studies. So what they do with the researchers is that the researchers will be required to sign a contract that says we, the drug company paying for this study, actually own the results that you come up with, and the researcher has to sign a contract to that effect that the drug company owns the results of the study. And so what happens is the drug company winds up with the right or authority to choose what studies results they want to release and what they don't want to release.
Right. And people are dying in America as a result of it.
Yeah, and with that as a sort of background, what I move into specifically is that there's a control mechanism, as I said, and you were talking about Bertrand Russell, that's going on, and often it's through mental health and education. Those are the two aspects I'm including in this series and in this booklet. And the goal of these is to have social control, broadly speaking, which would include physical, medical control, and so on. And so what you have recently is a huge controversy over what President George Bush established as the New Freedom Commission on Mental Health. He established that back in 2002, and it developed a number of recommendations, which actually the president has said to his various departments in the federal government, we want to start implementing these. About 25 federal agencies, we want you to develop a plan to implement the recommendations of this commission. Well, the commission wants, among other things, to require mental health screening of all children. Now, that gets translated at the state level, like Illinois actually says all children and pregnant women, so there's variations of this, but it's a mental health screening that's going on. And in addition to that, what you had in Congress was the passage of a law that became public law 108-447. Now, I put in my introduction a warning because sometimes people misunderstand. They're calling up their members of Congress and saying, you people passed a law requiring mental health screening, and they'll say, no, we didn't. And technically, they're right. What they did, now this is different from President Bush and the executive branch and his federal agencies and the implementation recommendations, is what they did in this public law was they contained a provision that was under substance abuse and mental health services that provides for a mental health data collection and evaluation activities, end quote. Now, to be sure that that didn't mean compulsory mental health screening, Representative Ron Paul introduced legislation, an amendment to legislation, to try and wipe that out of the initial measure, but he was defeated, okay? So that makes him, a lot of us, very suspicious as to what the goal is. So then he came back, Representative Paul, again, and says, well, you know, if there's going to be data collection, at least you ought to have parental permission if you're going to do this to children. Once again, he was defeated. So this sort of was the icing on the cake. It seemed to be very, very clear that what Congress was really up to was to allow this this data collection and evaluation activities to include compulsory mental health screening. That's what they were sneakily about. And so currently, as we speak, is introduced H.R. 181. The official title is to prohibit the use of federal funds for any universal or mandatory mental health screening program. That's the long title. The short title is the Parental Rights Act of 2005. which in effect would say what his last amendment tried to do, that you can't have any mandatory mental health screening. The parents have to give their permission if such an invasive procedure is going to be performed on their children. And at last count, he has at least 25 co-sponsors. They include some very prominent members of Congress, Representative Henry Hyde of Illinois, Tom Tancredo of Colorado, and many others have signed on as co-sponsors to this. So it has some success potential, but it's all a matter of listeners like your listeners to your program, Dr. Stan, contacting their members of Congress. It's before a subcommittee under Representative Regula, is his name at the time, and as to when it's brought out depends on how much effort people who support Representative Paul put forward. And so that's where that particular piece of legislation starts, is at now. The booklet then gets into, as you said, parts 1 through 4 of my series of articles, and I begin by going back some years because, as I said, the objective of the whole series is to show how there's this social control mechanism underway. And mental health, as well as education, are part of that mechanism. And I begin by looking at individual, John Rawlings Reese, who was deputy director of the Tavistock Institute for Medical Psychology, in a rather shocking quote. And this is some time ago, back in 1940, where he is talking about mental health, and he wants to bring all spheres of life, public life, politics, industry, should come within his sphere, their sphere of influence, these people who think like him. And he says, we've done a lot to infiltrate various organizations. Two of them were fairly easy, the teaching profession and the church. He says, we've infiltrated them, and the two most difficult are law and medicine. But in terms of medicine, they've come a long way since then. But basically, he says they're going to be fifth columnists. They want to get better ideas, according to him, on mental health. They're supposed to use this progress. They have a plan for long-term propaganda. And he's goes on, and he's fairly specific about wanting to change people without them knowing it. And after that, in the mid-1940s, I go on and tell what the leader of the World Health Organization, a psychiatrist named Brock Chisholm of Canada, put as his view in psychiatry. And in his view of what mental health would include is actually changing people's values. He said we have to get rid of these attitudes, these poisonous, he calls them poisonous certainties, fed to our fed by us by our parents about right and wrong. They're fed to us by Sunday and day school teachers and politicians and priests, and this is awful. We just got to get rid of these concepts of right and wrong, and so that we can have rational and intelligent thinking. We need to substitute that for these old traditional values. And he proceeded along those lines. He was actually helped into that position by Alger Hiss, who most of your listeners probably remember. Alger Hiss had the definition of health, or world mental health, broadened in the Constitution of the World Health Organization, saying health is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. So with this very, very broad definition, you can see how almost anything would be accomplished, or they could come after the populace as a whole.
Well, you know, Chris, I think what they're really trying to do is destroy the Christian foundations of this country. They want to change our whole attitude towards God and towards family and towards country. And when you remove, you know, belief in anything, when you disillusion people totally, when you give them all the reasons why there is no God, and you begin to destroy their very faith in anything in our country, why, pretty soon people don't know what to believe in. And we see these techniques used on television all these times, these rapidly flashing. Have you noticed how they have these rapidly flashing scenes? They go from one to other so quickly, and you get a little irritated. You don't understand. This is all part of their mental program of playing games with your mind. They know exactly how to do it. They've studied this for years. Television is the greatest means of mind control available to tyrants throughout the world today. And the average individual does not understand that day after day, week after week after month, our children and we ourselves are victims of mental health control. Well, it's about time you learn the techniques that are being used. We'll be back in just a moment with our special guest, Dr. Dennis Cuddy, right here at Radio Liberty.
Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. And it really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-1.
It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox. The fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, I guess this afternoon, is Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and we're talking about mental health, how they are working using television, using all sorts of things within the schools, using drugs. You realize that probably up to 6 million American kids are on Ritalin in our schools today. Do you realize this is an amphetamine-like drug, that it stunts the growth, stunts the growth of the brain of our children? Why would you do something like that unintentionally? Pick up the story there, Dr. Cuddy.
Well, before I pick up on that, you said something just before the break, a couple of things that I need to explain a little further. Two things. The first, the flashing images on TV. It used to be in the old days on television, somebody would come on and they hold up a bear aspirin or something like that, and they'd say, "Well, here are the 5 reasons to buy bear aspirin." But in the mid-80s, you had a lot of people from commercial advertising going into MTV. And that's where this sort of appeared first. Now it's all over CBS, NBC, ABC. And basically, what they do is they present an image with which you are supposed to emotionally associate. In other words, like in the public schools, when back in the early 60s, they moved from the cognitive domain, that's your reading, writing, math, basics, analytical thought, to what was called the affective domain, that's your social relationships and feelings. And that's at a time when great inflation occurred, social promotion, and the whole structure of education shifted. And the NEA president, Catherine Barrett, in the early 70s basically said that. She said, I've got a text of her speech where she said by the year 2000, the basics will be down to just one quarter of the school day because we're really about our basic business. The teacher will be a philosophical change agent. We're about changing values, changing what students think are right and wrong to give them this different sort of world perspective. From their view. And so on TV, what would happen is you don't want people, beginning about 20 years ago, you don't actually want people to think about the product, let's say a Nike shoe. What you do is you present an image of, let's say, teenagers, and they're very happy. And during the 30-second ad, you'll have something very unusual. Let's say a swirling, flashing image of a Nike shoe, something like that. And the reason they do that is most people who are older would sort of blink their eyes and turn away because this flashing light and swirling image is bothersome. But the youngsters who have been conditioned, especially with MTV, they are transfixed by it in this sense. A researcher called Bill Strittmatter back then termed it highlighted moments is what he did. And he said he compared it to like a gunshot. If you hear a gunshot, your body goes into a reflective mode. It's not in an analytical, critical thinking, you know, careful weighing and so forth. It turns into an immediate receptor of information. You jerk around. You look where the gunshot came from, and you're flooded with information at the time. And then afterwards, you'll make some sort of judgment, like duck, you know, something like that. But you're in this flooding of information, so you're not in a thinking mode. You're in an absorption mode. And so to the extent that they can fill a 30-second ads with this flashing image of, a Nike shoe, you're not thinking during the 30 seconds of, now let's see, what are the five reasons I might want to buy Nike? Instead, you're flooded with this repeated flash. In other words, each flash is registered in your brain as a separate event. Rather than one 30-second ad, you've got, 10 flashes, 10 events registering in your mind about Nike, and you're associating it with these happy-looking teenagers. And it doesn't mean you're like some zombie, you start hold your hands out and you walk out the door to buy Nike. But the point is, whenever you are in a position of wanting a tennis shoe, you can bet that the image of that Nike shoe will flood quickly back into your conscious mind, so that it'll be a part of what you're considering and buying, and you'll have that registration on your mind of these happy teenagers who you want to associate with. And so it's a different mode of advertising, and they've got this down to a real fine art. They've done test after test on this stuff. And so they know what, it's like Edward Bernays, where he said back in the 20s, the late 20s, and he was the one who was hired by Oscar Ewing in the late 40s, who was appointed by Harry Truman as head of the Public Health Service when it began, to get fluoride in the water. People prior to that had associated fluoride with rat poison and bug poison. But Edward Bernays came out with a book in 1928 called Propaganda. The same year he was hired by William Paley to be his chief advisor with CBS that Paley was starting. And in this, he said, we have the technical means now to manipulate you. We know how to do this. And an example I've given in the past is where he was hired by Lucky Strike to promote the cigarettes, menthol cigarettes. And what he did was the menthol was coming out with a green bullseye to complement the red bullseye for regular Lucky Strikes. And so Bernays went to the garment district up in New York and said, look, I'll pay you a certain amount of money to say that the fashion next year will be red and green. And so people saw, here's the fashion. I'll buy Lucky Strikes to go with it.
Hold up.
be happy to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaur's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaur's book, Ode to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaur will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaur.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items. Have you ever wondered whether you're really getting the truth from the media? Have you ever thought that maybe somebody's controlling your reality? Well, there's going to be a meeting. It's going to be held at the Westin Hotel over by Great America. It's going to be on May 28th and 29th, and it's going to be at the Conspiracy Conference. Now, if you'd like to know more about the Conspiracy Conference, call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. This is the fifth exciting year they've had this. Dick Gregory is going to be there, Nick Begich. There's going to be Daniel Hopsicker, Jack McLam. I'm going to have a booth, although I'll not be speaking. You're going to see the contrast between good and evil. The Conspiracy Conference is a great educational opportunity. We hope that many of you will give serious consideration to going May 28th, 29th. That's 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. Well, this is Dr. Stan. It's very difficult for the average individual to believe that a television is being used to condition their minds. It's very difficult for the average parent to realize that when they send their child to school, they're not being sent there to get an education. They're being sent there to be indoctrinated, to change their values and their relationship to God and family and country. Why do you think it is that so many of our young people, are so sexually promiscuous? They certainly weren't when I went to school, I'll tell you. We just didn't see the sort of things that are going on today. But it's because of the education. Why do you think so many young people are on drugs? If we're fighting drugs, we're doing a terrible job. If we're trying to promote drugs, we're doing a great job. And you have to understand that they're playing games with the minds of our children. You talk to the average child today, he believes we need government to provide for the people. You ask him what he thinks about world government, he thinks a world government is wonderful. You ask him what he thinks about the environment, he'll tell you all about global warming. He'll tell you about the ozone hole. He'll tell you about all sorts of things. And all of it, if has no basis in science, it has been programmed into his mind very, very skillfully by the people who control the educational system, and they're using it not to educate but to indoctrinate. So with that as the background, let's get on discussing Dr. Dennis Cuddy's booklet, which we carry incidentally, on mental health, which you need to have so you can begin to discuss these issues intelligently. And all you have to do is call 1-800-544-8927 and ask for and order this book. About how many pages is it? 40 or 50 pages?
40
pages. 40 page book on mental health. It's something you need to have, you need to study, you need to understand the message Dr. Cuddy is trying to get out. Go ahead, please.
Sure. Picking up on what you just said about how they can manipulate people, I remember back in the 60s there were very few actually sexually active teenagers back in school when I was there, but along comes Planned Parenthood, and they have a plan, and we both know about the quotes from the 1960s where they want to put various things, fertility control agents in the water supply and so forth, but in terms of sexual activity, they hooked up with an outfit called SECA, Sex Information Education Council of the U.S., which is very bold and wanted to get sex education in schools. And so what they would do is they'd say, well, there's a few people sexually active, and then they use that as a basis to say we need a comprehensive sex education program. And so once they got that in there, of course, the results were obvious. In fact, Planned Parenthood, I have a study that they did some time ago saying that when sex ed, comprehensive sex ed, was introduced to 15 and 16 years old, it wasn't the sexual activity went down, it went up, which is common sense. If you have youngsters thinking about sex grades K through 12, they're probably going to wind up, you know, testing it out or experimenting and so on. So you put that thinking in their mind. Returning to a remark you said about what the real objective of these people is, destroying the belief in God, what they do is sort of sneaky. In my booklet, in part one, I talk about the attitude of the National Training Laboratories, which was set up in part by the NEA, and they produced a booklet in the early 60s called Issues in Human Relations Training, and what they would do is call it sensitivity training. Remember, we're moving from the cognitive to the affective. They want you to be more sensitive. And so sensitivity training was really about unfreezing values, changing them, and refreezing them. In this little booklet, they actually call it, quote, brainwashing. And so they acknowledge what they're about. And so right after they came out with that book in 62, in 1963, I went to the first governor's school in the nation. And it was funded by the Carnegie Corporation. And basically, I got the letters back and forth between the psychological corporation, whose tests were being used on us, and found out that they wanted to keep files on us and tabs on us. And one of the tests they gave us was the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory. And just a couple of questions were, from that 770-some questions, we were supposed to respond true or false. One of them was, I believe in the worth of humanity, but not in God. Another one was, we cannot know for sure whether or not there is a God. And, you know, you're supposed to respond to questions like that. And so what they do is they don't come out and say, I am the teacher and I'm telling you don't believe in God. What they do is sort of like, you know, the Satan did with Eve in the Garden of Eden. They ask you a question, you know, did God really say this, Eve? You know, and they get you to thinking and wondering, because what they're trying to do is break down moral absolutes. And of course, once you've broken the absolute, then it all just becomes situation ethics. I mean, if it's okay in a current, let's say, character education class in, Los Angeles, where they're teaching, quote, honesty, if the student raises his hand and the teacher doesn't say, well, Johnny, you know, God says this and according to the Bible, which they can't do because they've kicked God out of the schools, then what Johnny is left with the decision is, well, you know, it's up to me. It's my decision. In fact, there's a book, a widely used textbook called Contemporary Living, where there's a chapter in it called It's Your Decision. And so through Socratic questioning, the teacher will say, well, isn't honesty the best policy? You know, things like that. But ultimately, the decision comes back to Johnny, and as I said, it's based on the situation. And so Johnny is left with the idea, well, okay, most of the time, you know, we don't lie, cheat, steal, whatever. However, there are situations in which it's okay. And so Johnny will go out and maybe shoplift if he feels in this situation some store owner has ripped him off on the price of a sweater or whatever.
You know, I think it's really so interesting. Where is the outcry from our parents? Why doesn't every parent just demand that that they get their kids out of school or get the churches set up schools? I mean, why can't you have the Ten Commandments that say, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not bear false witness? You know, what's wrong with those things? Well, the Supreme Court says, why, if we posted them, the children might read them, and if they, they might meditate upon them, and if they meditated upon them, they might obey them. That was what the Stone versus somebody or other decision they had back in 1980, they knew exactly what they were doing. Destroy the moral foundation of a nation, you destroy the nation. And of course, they had packed our courts with people who hated God, who hated Christianity, and would do everything they can to destroy it. And then we wonder why we're in the mess we are today. Let's go to Fred, who's calling from Salinas. Hi, Fred. Did you have a question or comment?
I had a very quick question. I wonder if you or your guest could comment on if you know of anything about the production of sugar and the use of lead acetate in the production of sugar.
No, well, that's a little off the subject.
It really isn't.
Do you have any thoughts on that, Dennis?
No, I haven't got information on that. No, I'm sorry.
I just run across some information that some of the symptoms that you've been talking about is a product of the lead acetate.
Well, what symptoms are you speaking of?
The mental symptoms of them.
All right. Well, I'm sure that I really am not in a position to comment on it, but maybe you could get that information and send it to me. Would you do that, Fred?
I'll try.
All right. God bless. Thanks so much. All right. Certainly, I don't think an awful lot of sugar is necessarily good for you, but I think we're really talking about something much more sophisticated than that. I think I'm much more worried about them getting our children onto addicting amphetamine drugs, which we call Ritalin for children. And, of course, when millions of children are on it and when it shrinks their brain and stunts their growth, I think that somebody ought to be saying, hey, what are we really doing?
Well, picking up on what he said, I don't know, but I'm just sort of pondering what he said at the moment. I know that a lot of youngsters who exhibit attention deficit hyperactivity disorder eat a lot of sugary foods, a lot of fast foods, and it may be that there's some connection there. I'm not sure. Sort of like the mercury-based preservative, the thimerosal that they put in vaccines has an effect because it. I think it binds. Some of the companies say we've gotten all, it's mercury free now. We don't have any mercury. But when the four vaccines were tested by this National Health Association, they came back and the test said, well, yeah, they still did have mercury because it binds with an antigen protein. And so you really can't get all of it out. So if there is this sort of lead compound that's found its way deliberately or otherwise into sugar, we know the negative effects of lead on small youngsters. We know those effects. And if they're being fed a lot of foods with sugar, sucrose, whatever in it, it's possible that has some connection with one of these disorders that now they're using as a means to say, well, you know, all these youngsters have ADHD, and so we have to have more government intervention. That could be. I don't know. But it's just a thought.
Maybe. I don't want to comment. I'm going to be like the unidentifiable source who declined to be quoted, but set off the record that he had no comment on that. So let's go on. But certainly
okay.
They're doing all sorts of things to influence the minds of our children. We know, for instance, when they fluoridate the water, they not only put on fluoride, which is a metal toxin, and of course lowers the intelligence and creates, and certainly if it's given to a pregnant woman, produces children who have hyperactivity disorder, but they also are adding into most fluoridated water areas both arsenic and lead and cadmium. And they know very well that this is going to increase the rate of cancer. They're just not telling the people. And you can't find this sort of information in the papers or in your magazines or on television or on most radio stations because the media is controlled. But anybody who has any question about what I'm saying really needs to give us a call. We'll get him Dr. Hersey's testimony. He worked for the Environmental Protection Agency. He's the vice president of the union of the scientists who work for the EPA. And they've been trying to tell the American people for a decade that they're being poisoned with what they're putting in the drinking water. And when he testified before the Senate, could you believe it? Nobody, none of the media picked it up, but we have the testimony. We'll be glad to send it if they call us at 1-800-544-8927. But let's get back to your subject, which, of course, is what they're doing with their mental health programs, what they're doing to destroy the mind and heart and soul of our children.
Sure. The way the system works, to show how they actually accomplish this and why you are asking why the public isn't speaking out, in the 60s, you had a very leftist movement paid for by a lot of the SO people, the power elite. They wanted to round up a few hippies, according to the book The Strawberry Statement, which was by an insider who actually had knowledge of, he said, a couple of SO people, now Exxon, were trying to buy up a few radicals. What they did was they gave those people the graduate degrees, they promoted them, they became the university professors because they were credentialed. Not just at the university level, but in the public school level. There's a quote I have by NEA president saying, the old-fashioned teacher, they may be okay as FBI agents or tap dance instructors, but they're not good for the schools. So what they did was in higher education and undergraduate school and elementary and secondary schools, they got their type of people into key positions so that they would make decisions. And so now what you have is those people are in getting up, you know, upper 50s, 60 years old, in the most prominent positions, and they in turn are seeing that the hirees under them have the same type of mentality. And so what you get from the leadership in education, mental health, wherever it is are those types of people with that philosophy. Well, you may say, well, what about all the other people? There's lots of other people who aren't hippies and so on. But the problem with them is the people in charge, the leftists, have created situations and systems which follow along a Tavistock theorist, Fred Emery, a senior analyst with Tavistock, what he called his theory of social turbulence, where if you throw a lot of crises at people, they'll go into psychological retreat. So the traditional people were confronted by these crises, maybe a judicial crisis, an economic crisis, Vietnam War, political, whatever, by the leadership who has this particular power elite viewpoint. And what they had done in controlling the system was every time the traditionalists, traditional Christians, Jews, and others, tried to right these grievances, these outrages that were coming about, you would run into the system. At the local level, let's say your superintendent was ramming comprehensive sex ed, you came before him, said we had 5,000 traditional Christians, Jews, and others rallying, you know, and you got rid of the superintendent. It didn't matter because your next superintendent was from this same batch that had been credentialed by the colleges of education. They don't get their degree, their educational doctorate, unless they follow the line of thinking that these people want. And so after you've done that a few times, or after you've batted your head against the wall to these very liberal judicial circuit and Supreme Court cases, you know, well, God shouldn't be thrown out of school, well, the Supreme Court says, too bad. After you've batted your head against the wall, what happens, according to this theory, is that you'll start to go into psychological retreat. You'll say, well, I can't fight City Hall, you know, I tried, I've got a family, you know, I've got my daily life I've got to be about, let somebody else do it, I'm tired, you know, you're supposed to be worn down. And so what they've done is created a system of judges, a system of public schools, a system, a credentialing process that is extremely hard to confront. And so what I do is when I go into part two of the booklet, I talk about social control and how various foundations, the Rockefeller Foundation actually boldly said back in the 30s, we're about the control of human behavior, social control. And I mentioned Tavistock at the end of the Second World War. The Rockefeller's medical director, Alan Grigg, basically said he wanted to fund, they wanted to fund an entity, it was known after that as Tavistock, that would put wartime psychology into the civilian population so that the public could be more easily controlled. And I mentioned another book, The Science of Coercion, which goes into a lot of detail as to how that occurred between the end of the Second World War and around 1960. Now, after that, about 10 years, you had Zbigniew Brzezinski talking in his book, Between Two H's, in 1970, about biochemical means for human control. This was a sort of futuristic book that he was looking at. David Rockefeller loved this sort of attitude, where he said human beings become increasingly manipulable and malleable, Brzezinski said, and so Rockefeller made him the first director of his Trilateral Commission in 1973. And I pick up at the same time in education, where the NEA has various divisions. One's called the Association for Supervision and Curriculum Development, came out with a book, To Nurture Humaneness, where it basically is saying in there, absolute behavior control is imminent, one of the writers says. The critical point of behavior control, in effect, is sneaking up on mankind without his self-conscious realization that a crisis is at hand. But, you know, it's happening. And so we're just sort of lulled into our everyday life as this is going forward. And so then I move into part three of the booklet and talk a little bit more about how this is affected with No Child Left Behind, the initial education plan of the current President Bush, along with Ted Kennedy. They worked very well together on this. And there was a mental health aspect of that as well. And this was before the New Freedom Commission on Mental Health came about. And so I try to go in next in part three, showing how there is information. They collect data on people. And in case you think, you know, this is only looking at mental health problems of people who are psychotic, you have to realize what the broad definition of this is. For example, on your show, you have a lot of people who listen and talk about the New World Order and a one-world government. Well, most of the people who criticize us for thinking like that say we're what? We're paranoid. And paranoia is a form of mental illness.
Dennis, we're out of time, but remember, you're only paranoid when you imagine people are against you. There really are people who hate America, and of course they hate individual freedom, and mostly they hate God. God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move
to establish
concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they will be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. BHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. If you'd like to get Dr. Cuddy's pamphlet, it's only $4.95 plus shipping and tax here in California, but give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And as for Dr. Dennis Cuddy's a pamphlet on mental health, it's a 40-page booklet. I got a lot of great information in it. We also carry his book, Secret Records Revealed. Now is the Dawning, September 11th, Prior Knowledge, Cover-Up, NEA, Power Grab, Road to Socialism. So many books Dr. Cuddy has done, and we certainly recommend them all. They're very, very important for you to understand. We have, of course, books on mind control and mass control. The techniques that are used, these are books written by Jim Keith, who died under very, very mysterious circumstances, but we do have access to his books. We were able to find some copies of it. We have, of course, our four tape set on mind control, which is available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We have a book, it's called The Transformation of America. It's the story of a young woman who was actually sold to the CIA for mind-control experiments. That's The Transformation of America. We have the government's own study, it came out of the Senate in 1977, called MKUltra. The mind control experiments, which the CIA did everything they could to conceal. After all, they didn't want the American people to know that they were killing people and giving them LSD and experimenting on them. We have other government reports on behavioral modification. They're all available to Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. These long suppressed government reports are there. And you say, I don't want to believe that. Well, you better believe it. You better find out what's going on. And then you better help us get the information out. Because if we don't get responsible people in government, who do we have to blame? We have only ourselves to blame. And men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. If you've not read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or seen the video or the audio tape, you need to. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get the book by itself, or the video by itself, or the audio tape, or get them all together in the Brotherhood of Darkness special. We hope many of you will want to get the video. They sold their souls for rock and roll. That is, they sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. Believe me, after you've seen this video, you will never look at the world through the same eyes again. We carry Megiddo 1, which is a story, very, very professionally done, certainly of the prophecies, biblical prophecies. Megiddo 2, the story of really of what's happened in the world going back to the Garden of Eden, and bring us right up today. And I'm actually in that as we show you the Georgia Guidestones. We show you what Madame Blavatsky was teaching back in 1870. And Madame Blavatsky was a Satanist. And there really are Satanists today, and they're working to control your mind and to bring about a new world order and a new world religion. All of the videos we mentioned, including my latest video entitled None Dare Call It Genocide. That's None Dare Call It Genocide. Available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a copy of our newsletters, if you haven't read my November newsletter, which goes into the background of water fluoridation and how they're poisoning you, and gives you the scientific studies that have been suppressed, and tells you about the other people who've spoken out on this and been attacked, we'll send you a free copy of our November newsletter if you call us at 1-800-544-8927. And then we have a wonderful DVD on fluoride, and you'll actually hear Dr. Harvey Limbach, who is a professor of the University of Toronto, but he's told he cannot speak out at all. In fact, I talked to him. He said, I'd love to come on your program, but I've been threatened. I'm afraid for my job and my family. Ladies and gentlemen, this is going on today, but then, after all, what's at stake? They're poisoning your children. You can see Dr. Harvey Limbach on the video or on the DVD. And pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection.